This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on Free FM 89.0. To my right, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And good morning, gentlemen.
Fine day. What a lovely day. Yeah. After, you know, been relatively lots of wind and everything else, so it's nice to see the sunshine.
There's lots of wind too, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of it's flatulence coming
in. Yes. Plenty of wind coming out of the, what do you call the person... The woman that takes kids to the movies and meant to be running our economy, Nicola Willis. She's sort of struggling at present.
I think
trying to explain that. Still trying to blame the previous Labor government while we're in the hole.
Yeah. So country's in a bit of a hole.
Yeah, unless for some, for many, but not for some, of course.
Mm. Yeah. For the same people.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought we'd start with an update on the local body elections.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah. We got our papers.
Yep. Max voted.
Voted.
So we've got one vote in Hamilton.
Yeah, one person voted.
Yeah, so what have we got? We're going to get over 29.4% of registered voters voted last time.
Yeah.
Take off the ones that aren't registered, which is probably... generally about 10, at least 10% of the population, I would say, in Hamilton, maybe higher, of adults. It's not good, is it? You know?
No, the current trend is going down, isn't it?
Yeah. So
disillusioned with the system or choice of candidates, as they say it.
And I suppose it's not, let's face it, there's been for decades, they put out that renters don't really count. Shouldn't really vote, and I've heard people saying that we're not allowed to. It's not for us. It's for the landlords. Well, and that's their perception that you just suck it up. That's a big group of 40-something% of people in Hamilton, as we know from the Hamilton report we talked about, the pre-election report. 40-something% are renters.
Yeah.
So not all, of course, but. As a general thinking, they think, well, it's not really for us. It's a big chunk of the vote gone already, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, speaking of the report, which is good, there was a question asked at the Meet the Candidates at Pukete Neighbourhood House yesterday morning and into the early afternoon, and that question was put to them, how many had actually read the report?
Oh, good.
Because what we did, what happened was the candidates were given a red and green piece of paper.
This is for Hamilton West candidates.
Yeah, Hamilton West, but there were mayoralty and there was a couple of regional councils in there.
Yeah.
And when that question was asked, they all held up the green piece of paper. So that tells me they did have a look at it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Encouraging.
Yeah.
It is encouraging.
Yeah. So we did have it yesterday. We had one on Tuesday night as well, and there were candidates that were there that weren't there yesterday.
Were they well patronised?
There was a good turnout of mainly what we call older Hamiltonians
who are going to vote.
There was a sprinkling of young people there. Mm-hmm. There was at least two East Ward councillors in the crowd.
Yeah.
One had it printed on his back, East Ward, and you alluded to one off air who I didn't know was a candidate. Okay. So, yeah.
But you were saying Brian Farrell turned up.
Yes.
He's not running for anything, is he?
Yeah, no.
We can talk about him.
He was a former Hamilton West councillor.
Wasn't he a morning tea attendee?
Yeah, councillor.
Sorry, Brian.
But he got rather indignant because the meetings were structured. Questions had been pre-sent or pre-arranged, and he thought, and he wanted to ask a question from the floor, and then he made this kind of a snooty comment, "Oh, it's a waste of time me being here." Well, he could have just left, saved a scone or two.
I don't think he had scones.
No, we gave him a finger food, and that was sort of a kind of incentive for them to, once the thing was over, that they quietly left.
So anyway, did they account? Was it? They account themselves well? Were you impressed by the standard of candidates? You never talk about that sort of thing.
Sitting councillors, I was impressed with.
They should be because they know what's going on, don't they? Yeah.
One of the mayoral candidates, and I think he's also a West Ward candidate. I was impressed with him, but I can't vote for him because I'm on the Maori roll, so I get. I had this distinct impression that one or two should really have a cognitive test. I'm just being frank.
Because
we talk about the quality of candidates.
Yeah.
And I thought, despite the few, nuggets of good candidates, the rest were moderate to low.
I just want, and I think when people vote, my recommendation is try and see if you can read it in their blurbs or find out about them. What have they done in the community? It's all very well saying, I'm going to do this, and be very nervous that people are going to go, I. I'd like to have, let's face it, in a council, it's a group of people making decisions for the betterment of us, the people, citizens, not just some, ideally. So I like to read, I like to hear their comments about, we will do this, I will work collaboratively with the other councillors to find all that sort of thing. It gives you, because you're trying to pick. You just got these people you never heard of, most of them, etc., and you're trying to decide. You've got to try and figure out, okay, what's the language telling you? And that can still fail, but that's what I go on.
I just didn't get a look in.
Yeah.
I think in the ballot papers, I think in the city council, I think you've had up to 12 votes, I think it is.
Okay.
Only have used six.
Yeah, which is fine. It's STV,
if you want to, you can only use one.
Yeah.
Or if you don't like the other, and
Or it could be none too, in some cases.
But what is really important is that try and encourage people to vote, because let's face it, we know that only 30, probably about a quarter of the population votes, and I'm being conservative. Could be worse.
Even talking to a couple of colleagues who definitely is a renter, and saying to them, "Well, you pay rent. The rent goes to your landlord.
The landlord just clips the ticket.
Yeah, that's exactly. So you should be incentivised to vote.
Yeah,
based on
to various people. And some people said they weren't going to vote because they just think they're part of the system.
Yeah, and you get that. You often get that.
And I can understand your argument. Unfortunately,
you just hand it to the status quo, don't you?
Yeah.
By not voting, even that you're far better to go along and vote and write. Even if your voting paper's disqualified and write, I don't want any of you. Thank you very
much.
None
of the above.
Yeah, at least you've showed that you have actually taken the time. Mm.
So
and it's important when you get your ballot papers, I think, to do it almost straight away.
So
if it gets put on the table and then disappears, another detritus.
I'm a bit guilty of that. I have opened it. I have marked some candidates with ticks. I've put some crosses like right through them, and I've got some question marks. So I'm getting closer.
My selection, because I'm on the Maori roll, is a little bit more narrow. So I've got the same around the mayoral candidate, and I've got the same with the question.
Yeah.
But when it comes to candidates for the Maori ward and regional council, a lot more narrow. So I've only got a choice of one for regional council, and I know exactly who I'm going to tick on that one.
So just to ask that, because although you're enrolled on the Maori ward, for regional council, is that just you go back to a general vote
No, it's a Maori. There is a Maori ward component to the
region as well. Yeah, so you can't go into the vote for the general. Okay, no, I got that.
No, and then there was for the candidates for the Maori ward in Hamilton City. There is you can mark up to two.
Okay, yeah. And that's cross city, isn't it? There's not
cross east, city. West.
Yeah. Okay. Choice of keeping them or not keeping them.
But the main one, of course, is about for all of us. Is should there be Māori wards or not? Which is compulsory. It wasn't the city council. The city council didn't decide that to have that.
Central government.
The government forced upon councils to do it.
Yeah, but that question was also put to the candidates current or present there yesterday.
Yeah.
Majority Green, favour of Māori, Māori ward.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
People take, and there was a person, and I think that person who was taking photos of that day was that East Ward Council that you mentioned off air.
Yeah.
She was taking photos of that, so it's been captured. So,
No, and that'll be, let's face it, they haven't had any bad press, much bad press. There's been one of the Māori councillors resigned through personal issues, I believe, but, you know, they haven't been rocking, you know, everyone just goes, oh, you might. It's like the old fear-mongering, you know, Three Waters, typical example. We can't have Māori doing this, but they've worked very well in council. So,
I think on Tuesday night, one of the people who showed up, who didn't show up yesterday, was questioned on his past.
Yeah.
Around financial accountability.
Yes.
So, and that was, and somebody raised something even further about a prosecution. To that same person,
yeah.
So that was raised.
Yeah.
One of the
was it answered well?
Apparently, according to my manager, it was answered well at the time.
Yeah. That's right.
But then there was something extra that they didn't know. So
those who felt sin cast the first stone,
as I say. Yeah. But one of the candidates aligned to a political party made a very stark comment, which I took on and I was saying, well, they said that they were had death threats, and somebody actually said, and this is quoted, threatened to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, sad. Yeah,
rather sad set of affairs.
No one, you can disagree with things, or you think they're useless or whatever else, but where do you stop, you know? And I say, are they hiding behind anonymity. This is the trouble of nom de plumes and trouble with the whole social media. You can say all sorts of things and you don't have to put who you are.
Yeah. And there was one particular candidate from this side of the river who probably thinks that talking loud and banging the table will get you there.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say, but that turns people off big time.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope so. Well, you'd think so.
Well, you do hope so, yeah.
We want just people who can work together, listen to the other argument, be prepared to change their mind because that's what it's about.
Or compromise
and all that, you know. Anyway, let's encourage people to vote.
Yeah, go out there and vote, yeah.
Because you've got till the 8th of October.
The trouble is you leave it late and then something else happens in this world we've got, internationally and everything else, do it. If you've got the papers, sit down, give it a read, have a cup of tea, read the blurbs. You know, you might know of someone that might know a bit more if you trust that person's advice. Mm. Have a yarn with them, you know, if you're not particularly political. Mm. Just don't go, I don't know anything about them, so I won't vote. Mm. You know, ask people that you know might be, but that you trust and value their opinion. Right. And just like we've just had this off-air conversation about what we think.
What we did because at the Pukeri neighborhood house, we've got a largely younger workforce.
Yeah,
mainly because they work with what they call the Oscar program.
Are you the grandpa there, are you, Craig?
Well, really? Beginning to feel like that.
Oh, okay, mate.
Yeah.
So that's why you send her every year at the Christmas party.
No. They probably have some grumpy old. No. That being said, because we have these young people here, and they'll be voting age.
Yeah,
and our manager actually pointed to our building and saying voting is important because you get facilities like that.
Yeah,
with councils, you support and da 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 da, and that's what happens.
Well, and let's face it, everyone moans about what council does, but to get get some of the big things up and running, you need their collective will.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm an old socialist, but, you know, at the end of the day, how do you build something? It's, you know, you can, not many individuals have got the wealth to go and build the sports stadium, so they do it. Mm-hmm. We can argue about whether they paid enough for their naming rights and what do you call the elite floors on top or et cetera, which they sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's tax deductible for those companies, et cetera. But that's a different story. We often need that collective effort that pays for everything. Like we have a state. We pay taxes, so we have a collective. We have a state health system, state roads, you know. Keep going on about it. But a welfare net that's paid by all of us.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So vote. That's what we say. Say if you can't find enough, even if you vote for one person. If you know one out of them, that's better than not voting.
Yeah.
You know? So the cut-off date is the 11th, isn't it? About 12 o'clock.
And
get in there.
And go. You can vote in the libraries, you know, if you don't have to go all the way into the thing. Where else have they got voting? You can send it by mail. So if you can find a mailbox.
Find a mailbox.
Good luck. But if you've got a mailbox, most people know where the local one is, I guess, maybe.
If they're still around. Some have been taken away.
If you're in the Puketi area where the neighbourhood house is, we've got one there.
Yeah, so and the libraries have one. Hillcrest hasn't because it's shut.
Well, it's out of commission at the moment, so.
Hope it opens again.
So. They're talking about a pop-up one, I see. I think they announced they're going to do a pop-up
library. A pop-up library, are you?
Yeah, I believe so.
You mean just made out of cardboard?
Probably. Well, if some of the council candidates would have their way, it could well be.
We know one. Yeah. There was also an interesting question that came up from a feed-in question, and it talked about the rates, and it did. And what was interesting about it, there were current councillors who supported a higher rate.
Right.
So people, just do your research before you vote, like Fred has done. Put the X there, or a question mark, or a tick. For the candidate you prefer or don't prefer.
Because some councils did want higher rates when they were discussing the rates.
Well,
let's face it, the honest truth, not just for Hamilton, but for New Zealand, and even the central government, we've never addressed some of the problems. We've always kicked the can down the road. Instead of going, actually, the rates should have been in 1970, should have been this much, they didn't.
They suppressed
it. And we've just kept passing this on, kicking it down the road, Well, and it's caught up for some time, and the temptation is still to kick it down the road. So we're addressing decades
of rate suppression. That's the problem.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're building a new performing arts centre, and
which, as I said before, we. Things like that are nice to have, and collectively, that's the only way they're going to get done. But it's just not addressing the fact the rate should be this amount of money. If you want your toilets to run, and you want your sewage, and you want roading, you want sports fields, you want libraries, you want lighting, you want safety, you want community, does cost, you know?
Yeah.
Core services.
And not even not core services. Things that are good to the benefit of the city.
Like community events funded by council.
Yeah, and let's face it, some who moan about, it's all frivolous, et cetera, but they've got the privilege and to hop in their nice car and go over to the beach or go to the lake house.
Or fly across Australia.
Fly overseas.
Yep.
A lot of people in Hamilton, they work here or struggle here, and they have their entertainment is in Hamilton. And that's important to remember, that they don't have the luxury of, we'll just go over to the Whanga for the weekend, you know, or we'll go down, you know, or off to Fiji for some of the winter. They don't have that luxury. I think it's important that we do give the masses things to do.
It comes back to those candidates whose message is about engaging with the community.
That's
what it comes back to.
Those things.
But it also highlights the ones you keep banging on about efficiency and waste. Because on the other side of the coin, you've got the negatives who want to see those things go. They're not interested.
True.
They don't use them. They don't see why we have them.
And it goes back to, that's what I'm exactly saying. Are those people the same people who hop in their big car and go off to the beach? So yeah, they don't. They think, oh, well, there's no point having a balloon fest in Hamilton because, you know, I don't go. I don't need to go because I go to a, on a balloon ride over Turkey when I want to go up on a balloon. You know, it's those same people. You got to decide. They're saying this, but do they actually use any of them? Or are they privileged enough or think they're privileged enough or not community-minded enough? Which should be a big red flag to say, well, if you don't do anything in Hamilton, then what are you standing for?
Yeah. So the last question from the local board elections is a question around the east-west ward versus citywide elections.
Yeah.
And what I just wanted to see, what your positions are on that.
Me personally, I would like to see city councillors allotted
To a certain area.
So in Hillcrest, we know, right, you've got an issue with whatever. The two councillors that handle Hillcrest, Silverdale, Hamilton East or Riverlea, this and this. So you've got a little bit more attachment to them rather than just east-west, it seems.
I think citywide would be a problem. If citywide elections would be a problem for me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is that certain areas will get heavily represented, while there might be areas that would have no representation.
Exactly. Yeah. And those, sadly, those certain areas that get no representation.
We've kind of got that in a way too.
Because they don't vote, so there's no effort there.
We've kind of got that scenario because we know some of those candidates, we don't see them till from one election to another.
No, and then they live in a lifestyle block outside of town.
Yeah, I always remember this.
It's a bit of a tricky one.
I always remember this Meet the Candidates that was held at the St. Stephen's Church on Mahui.
Yeah.
And a comment that came from the crowd, I think it was, the only time we ever see you people is at these events.
Yeah.
And that was, and that was quite some years ago.
Yeah.
Because that's in the days when McLennan was still around on council.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So we're going back a few
years. Because it's quite amazing the number of pictures I've seen of people. People wanting to get elected. Suddenly, you're doing some environmental stuff and got spades in their hands and all this. And you think,
that's the same argument.
Comments.
Same principle,
isn't it?
Yeah. With the spades brand new, shiny and bright.
Simeon Brown reminded me when he had his, you know, and it was a bit infamous. He was out there in the street with his shiny boots. Mm. You know.
Yeah. So that's always stuck in my mind, because given that where the church is, that's a sort of Melville area.
Which is a belittlement to the ones that do actually stick in the community and do as much as they can in the community.
They end up tied with the same brand.
They end up tied with the same ones who do nothing and just come along. Johnny come lately, because they know most people don't follow anything, so they come along lately and they go, oh, you good on blah, blah. Look at them doing that, you know, compared to someone who's done it for 20 years, 15 years before they were a councillor as well.
That was a bit like when they turned the soil, what they call the turning of the sod, for their new building.
Yeah.
There was one or two councillors there that I'd never seen before. Interesting.
Anyway, so people's choice.
So what have you got there, Fred? New Zealand Herald.
Oh, you go first, Mick.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Pass right.
Pass right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this caught my eye. This was an article in Herald on, yesterday. Headlines read, Sending New Zealand Bankrupt. Former Finance Minister calls for Nicola Willis to resign, writes the reporter.
Oh, am I allowed to be... She's not standing for election. Yeah.
But former Finance Minister Roger Douglas is calling for Nicholas Willis to resign. He and University of Auckland Matthew, Able Chair of Macroeconomics, Robert McCulloch, said the context in GDP revealed by Stats New Zealand yesterday was because Willis was sending New Zealand bankrupt by failing to get to grips with our ballooning fiscal deficits and public debt. So that thing, I'm immediately thinking,
austerity.
Austerity for...
Yeah. For the masses, not for the few.
Just ring alarm bells, eh?
Yeah.
And, Jenny says that the books aren't improving and just says that, he criticises her the handling of fiscal deficit and public debt because they've been, well, they found the money for tax cuts and they found money for landlords' property. Reimbursement, backdated.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting that... There's a joint an article by Matthew Houghton. It talked about economy completely off the track. GDP growth. There's a picture of Mr. Luxon. I'm juxtaposed with him as a table of several countries. Since March 2025, China's been 1.1. And since June of the previous year, 5.2. So they've improved a lot.
Yeah.
New Zealand's way down the bottom. Minus 0.9 March of this year and minus 0.6 or 0.6.
So that's not doing well.
So, but every time a politician talks about austerity measures, and they've got a, like they've got in France at the moment and the UK, you know, got to rein in public spend, that means things like benefits and all those social programs that we've come to expect, and some of us actually paid our taxes during our working life to pay for, could be severely curtailed.
Well, and isn't the irony or the tale of two cities? There was an article in the one of the papers, Herald or somewhere, and it was about how the farmers are doing really buoyant. The prices
are
huge.
They're doing really well.
You know, so they're having well they're in clover, but society's not.
And
the same article then had all these people going to the food bank, some of them never been before, feeling quite ashamed, etc. And they just
and some of those would be working poor. People actually working but can't afford to.
Yeah.
And that's a problem that's rife, eh?
Yeah. Now, what are we going to become? A country, when according to this lot, our government, you know, they just want rich people to come in and they think that'll solve anything? No. All we end up is a country of a few landlords and the masses will be renters, and that'll be it.
If they can find somewhere to rent, and it'll be pushed out to the
outskirts. As you said before.
Closed in together.
Ghetto-ized, slum
rentals, you know. And we think, well, that won't happen, but look around the world. There's lots of slums, etc. Very easy to happen.
America.
Well, everywhere, you know.
So
Nicola Wallace, you know, this government can't seem to get it into their heads that it's very nice for Nicola Wallace to be able to take her kids to the movies any day of the week and for Luxon and that crowd, the beach club crowd, the golf club crowd, the Lakesville crowd, etc. But actually, for an economy to do well, you need Benny and Mary and Freddie and Mick and Craig to think, oh, yeah, I've got some jingle in my pocket, I'll go spend.
Yeah,
but they don't think like that.
They don't think like that. They live in a different. It's their normal up there, and then they go, "We know what's best for the masses." Yeah, but they're not affected by it.
No. McCulloch says that Willis kept saying that the country was returning to surplus. The books are not improving. This is Mr. McCulloch talking, and said, "And this surplus she's talked about today, which would have been yesterday, Thursday, is creative accounting trick. She's changed the way the accounts are being measured."
Yeah,
she keeps saying they're getting better. And it's not true.
Yeah,
people are still struggling, eh?
But the social cost, the worst thing about is how many people will be injured, some will lose their lives, etc. The real hard social costs, kids not getting shifted out of schools. Well,
talking about kids,
housing.
There's now a growing trend of kids stunted at growth.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got enough to eat.
Or the wrong sorts of foods, etc.
Because dairy products are too expensive, they'll say that.
That's happening. It's a worldwide trend that kids are now produced in height.
And
the cost of the upheaval, like social disintegration, it's going to cost even more money.
Well, our government seems to think, well, we'll just get more rich people in from overseas. We'll just get more rich migrants in. We'll just get,
that'll solve.
But if the same percentages stay the same, how does it solve anything? Just makes the...
It just exacerbates it.
Well, the numbers increase.
Yeah, it's just 30% of 10 million, 30% of 5 million is 1.5 million or whatever.
6 million.
It's just the same.
It just goes up like that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Shame on them.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
But someone pointed out the only thing from a left-wing perspective, of course, the things are bad now, but what they'll do, and you guys have heard the same before, in 6 months' time, there might be a bit of a lift, start becoming a lift or something.
Because there'll be election money.
And they call it, we can see the green shoots of a recovery. That's the standard. Never mind the pain that the ordinary people have had for 3 months.
Yeah, because they're starting to get geared up in 6 months' time for elections.
Yeah. But that's what will be sold, the green shoots.
And people will be stupid enough to believe it.
Yep.
But yep. we'll always come back to the line of Nicola Willis pre-election. Yep. Yep. We know how you feel.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you wouldn't have a clue.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't have a bloody idea.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No. You haven't struggled at all.
She struggled to know which movies.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and she says she struggles. Now she can take her kids to the movies. So
yeah. Yeah.
The only problem is which movie.
Yeah, what day.
Yeah, which yeah.
That kind of segues into another article. I'll ask you guys a question. Under Labour or National, what do you think the... who incurs more strikes during their tenure? Labour or National?
Traditionally,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think has to experience more strikes?
Traditionally, I thought it was always the Tories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's another article here. Strikes under national government, no confidence, commentator says. When Labour's in power, there's more negotiation and dialogue and even, in brackets, good faith.
Yeah. Historically, Mick, I go back to that question. Why I said, and you proved it to be a correct answer, there are two main strikes in this country in the 20th century. One about 1913, the big industrial strike they had, in 1951.
Oh, yeah.
The waterfront strike.
Waterfront strike.
So, and in those two periods of time, it was Massey's government that was in charge.
Yeah.
You remember Massey's Cossacks?
Cossacks,
yeah. And 1951, St Holland was government.
Under national. National tends to take a harder line on health and education workers, while unions often get pressured from their allies not to damage Labour-led governments by striking. Unions affiliated with Labour contribute their members' dues to the party coffers and their voting rights on its leadership under its constitution.
Yeah.
So, in contrast, nurses' union delegates pointedly turned their backs on Health Minister Simeon Brown yesterday. That would have been Wednesday.
I saw that. Yeah.
And those unions feel a very hostile government is in power at the moment, so they have no reason to hold back on their industrial action. So, you think there'd be a lesson learned there? If we want to have less strikes, perhaps we should engage more in negotiation rather than dictation.
Yeah. So, equals industrial action. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
They gave an example. Primary school teachers have been voted go on strike on October 23rd after rejecting a pay rise that Public Service Commissioner Brian Rochefort thinks is a good one. The offer would have seen teachers at the lower end of the scale receive pay rises of 2.7% and 4.1% over 2 years. Those on the upper end of the scale would get 2.5% and then 2.1% the next year.
Is he the same Sir Brian Roach? I have to use that.
Roach?
Oh, yeah.
Or Roche.
Yeah. I think there's a word missing from that word Roach.
Yeah, there's a letter missing.
He said that they were, when they, I think it was, must have been the teachers, I'd say, when they refused the 1% increase, he said they were ungrateful. What's your salary then, sir?
I'm sure he would have been picked up a substantial rise.
So
it's not, it gets back to the old argument. No, it's austerity for me, but not for me.
And
social welfare only exists for the upper classes.
Seems to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's always
socialism
welfare.
For the rich.
Socialism for the rich.
Got to have a beach highway, and we need, nice clean water.
We need the people to pay for this.
Yeah.
Sweep the beaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
there'll
be sea walls.
Yeah.
Sea walls.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, going up to the Northern Hemisphere, this is an article caught my eye. That this is the fiasco of Starmer, UK PM, defends himself over ex-diplomat's Epstein links.
Ooh.
This is about the appointment of Lord Peter Mandelson as his ambassador to Washington. And he said that he would never have appointed him had he known the full extent of the diplomat's relationship with the sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh.
Starmer's popularity has tanked since taking office in July of last year, endured several days of negative front pages in UK newspapers, with some even suggesting he's on borrowed time. The Prime Minister backed Mandelson last Thursday, only to fire him the following day after emails showed that this guy Starmer is just lurching from one cluster
to another.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And no wonder people are so disillusioned in the UK. Well, I'm disillusioned with the government we've got, but living in the UK, there must be problems. Well, no wonder they're going to reform when they see the way these two traditional parties behave.
Yeah, and I've got even I've got even more bad news. The your party, Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana, had a big falling out, public explosion yesterday.
Over about finances or monies or something?
Over a fact that Zara Sultana put out an invitation to people to send in money and become a member, etc. And she got 20,000, but it wasn't authorised by the body. Mm. And so Corbyn has come out and said, well, actually, that's not quite right. We haven't authorised it yet. And they've got to be careful around rules. When you ask, solicitate money from people, there's sort of rules around it. But anyway, that's just imploded. The left didn't need that at all.
No.
And so that's actually handed it to Reform, handed it back to Starmer. Yeah. Probably going to win out of that because I think, well, at least Labor's organised. So here was a chance for them to do something. And they've just blown up. I don't think they'll recover from it, personally.
No.
I think the only thing is Zach Polansky, the Greens, under Zach Polansky's leadership, will pick up from it because the Greens have already got a system in place of how to do things. The Your Party, which was Corbyn and Sultana, they were trying to do it from scratch, which sounds very well.
So they were requesting donations before the party was actually set up.
Yeah.
Ready to accept donations.
Yeah. And so that's not a good look.
No, because money can disappear.
Wow, go down lawyers' feet, you know. So that's a mess. It could end up, I would think, I'm only guessing, but it could end up in front of the law. But the left didn't need that. And the comments from England, from the UK, most people are just disgusted, hurt, whatever. And the comment is basically, crikey, we didn't need this.
Mm. No.
You know, that's how I feel. I thought, you know, that I think it was a beacon of hope. And then you think, well, okay, if the Greens and Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana's party, whenever they get there, work together, they can think strategically, they might give everyone a good fright. Well, that's gone. So the Greens will benefit from it, I'm sure.
And Reform.
But Reform more, and so will Labor. So, but, you know, whatever's got in the way, they've destroyed themselves before they've started, by the looks of it.
Yeah,
and even if they recover and they agree to shake hands or whatever,
people,
comments are generally, you expect us to vote for you to run a country when you can't even do this right. That's a fair comment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fair comment. So, shame. That's from, if anyone on the left is probably, if they've been following the UK events, will be, or feeling a bit depressed about all that. Yeah. It was a chance.
And then, of course, then Starmer had this week when he was hosting
Herzog.
No, not just him.
Mm. Well, he's done Herzog.
Trump coming over for an unprecedented second state visit.
Not very good timing when you think about it for those of us who care about Palestine. Is here is Starmer welcome, putting out the red carpet for the President of Israel, followed by the President of the United States, who allows Israel to do what it likes.
Yeah.
It's awful, you know.
Yeah, blood on their CVs, eh?
Yeah.
And good on the, I think you told the organisation, the one who projected the screen image of...
Led by donkeys.
Yeah, on the walls of Windsor Castle.
Yeah. They've been arrested. Good on them, but they've been arrested and they might go to jail. I wouldn't be surprised. Under their rules, you know.
Well, I see Trump's decided to declare Antifa, the anti-fascist organisation, as a terrorist organisation.
He wants to.
But he's going to have a bit of a legal battle. I think contravenes one of the articles of the Constitution about the right, the freedom to assemble.
Well, and the Americans, since Charlie Kirk got murdered, they're tearing themselves apart over this free speech thing. And all and because it seems to be a bit like...
Free speech for me, but not for thee.
Yeah, just like socialism for me, not for thee. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's cherry-picking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so America's in quite a mess. Hopefully there won't be any more murders. But it's quite tense over there.
It was tense in London too, because they had the Tommy Robinson
150,000
people. And had other people in another march for pro-Palestine.
Yeah,
And the police were trying to keep them apart. But I saw some of the clips and I thought, these are just thugs.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them. But some will be doing it out of whether misguided or generally believe it.
The cameras only showed the thugs.
Of course they do.
Because they're being belligerent and threatening.
Of course they do. And there would be genuine concern, of course, because the whole UK migration thing's a mess.
Yeah.
And
they keep banging on about the wrong group of people.
And I find it's really sad and scary is that there's a lot of racism in it because they don't want brown people coming over in boats. But meanwhile, they've had lots of ex-Hong Kong people with dual passports, lots of Ukrainians, been okay.
They're the right sort.
But then, don't want these people that happen to be...
But as you said before, the problem is not illegal immigrants, it's legal.
It works. And let's face it,
not portrayed in the press. They just immediately latch on to Afghanis or Africans or Arabs.
When economies aren't doing very well and people are struggling with their jobs, it's easier to blame
somebody else.
You know, we could well see that in New Zealand. If the economy stays poor, there'll be more people feeling resentful.
There'll be more racial division.
You haven't got a job.
There'll be scapegoats,
And we have got lots of migrants coming here, and that's life. But I say, if you're told suddenly you can't get your hospital, you've been chopped down the list a bit, et cetera, and it's all population done because they haven't kept up with infrastructure, people are easy to be convinced that it's them over there.
Oh, and they're easy to be exploited too.
Of course.
Get a right-wing nut job.
Well, we've seen that with the UK. People are exploited one way or the other, but especially there. And then Trump is a really good example.
Yeah.
So
that's me. I'm afraid it was a bit sketchy this week on the old site. But one positive thing I did come across is the ozone hole above us is closing up. Scientists released a report. It started last year. It's just been released this year that the ozone is actually closing up
due to our efforts, nature,
bit of both.
Probably us. Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was an improvement. But yeah, not due to not due to a universal effort on about cleaning the planet up.
It's because apparently it does move in and out of it.
Yeah, apparently it's closing up. But sort of one positive. But it's hard to find anything meaningful.
Yeah, I thought, can we go just on to Israel-Palestine? Israelis are still slaughtering people in Gaza. Which is tragic. And the world still responds. The UN had another vote, and surprise, surprise, America vetoed it.
14-1.
Yeah. Surely you'd think when 13 all say this,
the American representative was trying to say that recognition of Palestine state will be a reward for Hamas.
And
to do that, if we did that, it would interfere with the peace process. And I thought, what peace process? Yeah. There's no peace process.
No. So you're killing. You're allowing.
And had the General Assembly. Was it last week? We didn't just talk about it. There was something like over 3/4 of the countries voted for it. But I see the Palestinian delegation still being refused permission to travel to New York.
They wouldn't let them out because let's face it. People think, Palestinians, but they have to get permission from Israel for everything, even in the West Bank.
The Americans haven't given them the visa.
That's Rubio.
They've allowed President Abbas of the West Bank, the Palestinian leader, they've allowed him, he's going to be able to do our Zoom, speak by Zoom. But isn't that awful? Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble. Everyone goes, why don't they do something? Israel, the West Bank, is between Jordan and the West Bank, so it controls that. It controls everything.
Yeah.
There's no way. They can't. It's between Egypt and Gaza. It's, it's between Israel is not just against Lebanon's border. It's also in Lebanon as well in parts and also in Syria.
And for those of interest, there's a very good documentary on Al Jazeera at the moment called Frontline, Fault Lines.
Yeah.
They're talking about the disproportionate number of young children, clean babies, who are getting shot.
Yeah.
And then they happen to have amputations, that anaesthesia. And then to add to that, there's no antibiotics. So that, so they either get treated for injuries and their limbs removed, and then they run the risk of disease.
Well, and it will be patched, you know, it'll be patched.
And that seems to have been ignored by the Security Council, even the ones against the motion, thinking you're condoning this sort of treatment of young human beings.
Yeah, no, it is a tragedy.
What happened to humanity? It's gone out the door.
Yeah,
it seems. Yeah, in certain quarters. It's
definitely not in some places, though.
On a positive on that, though, there was a big march in Auckland, Queen Street, last week.
Yeah,
I was going to go up because I was going to. I never had the opportunity to go across the Harbour Bridge, make the effort. But they cancelled it the last late on. Because it was so windy.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, they still ended up with thousands, tens of thousands of people marching in Queen Street all the way to Victoria Park.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
quite impressive. They basically hadn't left by the time some had got there.
Yeah.
Just shows you how many came out.
I think the newspaper said 20,000, but I was a bit suspicious. I thought, would I be wrong in thinking they might have played the numbers down a wee bit?
Well, they tend to, but that can be on all whoever, whatever the protest is. But
I mean, I heard the other extreme was like 50,000. I thought, well, that's, somewhere in the middle, 25, maybe 30,000.
Yeah. So good on all those people that came out. And we say there was a group of good on them, priests and clergy people came out and chained themselves, was it to Nicola Willis's office or something?
Oh, right.
And that's accredited, finally. Yeah. The churches, you know, they've been very, and I'm sure there has been efforts by some, but the church has been very quiet.
Yeah.
You know,
there'll be individuals who might have stood up, but churches and all
that. So this actually got some publicity and all that, so good.
Yeah, it made it on Al Jazeera. It was covered on their news.
Yeah. So whether I doubt if they'll get the bridge march. And then, of course, the Prime Minister came out and said, I don't think you should be able to march over the bridge. But then I go back, it's a public, if you've got a public application to do it, it's a public road. Paid by the taxpayer, everything else. If you think, well, there's enough people here to be warranted, I can understand they're saying, well, you know, there's only you, Fred, and your mates, Craig and Mick. They're probably saying, on your bike. But when you've got a big cause,
who was this that was?
The Prime Minister and others going, oh, you know, you can't inconvenience the public.
Well, that'll test.
Well, meanwhile, children die, not the Prime Minister's children dying or anything, but meanwhile, on the other side of the world, we're watching a genocide.
And what are they afraid of?
Huh? And it's been declared by genocide by the UN,
what is our government afraid of?
I have no idea.
If there's a peaceful protest, they may not agree with the sentiments, fine, but what's the problem?
I don't think they'll get anywhere, because if they let the Te Pāri Māori, they let them, there was a...
Hīkoi
came across and all that.
Yeah, well, if you can do it then, why can't... So is it just the subject matter that's the sticking point?
Who knows? They won't go there.
Drawing attention to something they don't want to think about.
Well, I think they use the excuse, in my opinion, to say, it's about inconvenience. And sure, protests are... That's the idea of a protest.
To make it inconvenient.
To remind people to actually go, what's this about? Mm. You know?
And if people are given enough notice, they can make alternative...
And they do. They don't block the whole bridge. No. They just say, we're going to block the bridge on this side.
And it's not permanent. It's for a specified period.
Yeah, and it is a long walk. It's quite a big bridge, of course. Mm. And and the same thing, you would have got even more people if the bridge wouldn't have been up. So, because people, even if they're not particularly into the cause, would have gone, I'll get a chance to walk across the bridge. Come on, what are we doing? It's a Saturday. Off we go.
While we're in this train of thought, down Kikadea Drive, there's a plaque or a billboard. It looks like it's a homemade job.
Mm.
Stuck on one of the lighting lights on down there near Ellison Street.
Yeah.
And it reads thus, Aotearoa 1864, Palestine 2024, set the government's land wars.
Okay.
And I took a photo of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's in that same sort of, But, and aside to your one, Mick, about the priests, some showed up at Simpleton Brown's office in Pakaranga, and they were trespassed.
Did the same, yeah.
And they were trespassed. And I said, well, what does that tell you about that MP?
Yeah. No, our government's been very not slow. It just doesn't seem to want to go there. No. And whether that's the pressure inside, because don't forget, there's New Zealand First Act and National. There's obviously something going on there that's dragging the chain, you know. And whether it's all three parties don't want to go there, or whether it's one, because of course, if they really get stuck about it, they could say, no, this is an issue we'll fall on the sword for.
Yeah, I think the main drag on it sounds to me like it'll be ACT. Because
New Zealand First,
Peters, yeah, but I think ACT.
And Shane Jones has also come out pretty hostile to the Greens, wearing kaffir in Parliament.
And that so-called ACT MP court.
Yeah.
I think it was his voice that you would hear during Marama Davidson speak, saying, terrorists. You hear that? Yeah. I'm sure that was him.
It's beyond... It's a tragedy because we know a baby, a 3-year-old, a 90-year-old, they've been definitely clear. It's obviously there's something bigger picture than just about taking out Hamas. They
push them down to the south.
And then they could well easily push who's left alive into Egypt. I could see that happening.
But the other side of that whole thing about the destruction of Gaza City. It kind of reminds me of what the Allies did in the Second World War with Monte Cassino.
Yeah.
They tried to bomb the Germans into submission.
Yeah.
But what they actually created was a rabbit warren of death traps.
Yeah.
And I suspect this is the same with here.
Well, and it turned out that, and we know it was the truth, the Germans said they weren't in the casino, into the abbey on the hill.
That was Mark Clark's claim.
We said, no, we're not in there, we'll stay out of it. And had done an agreement with the local priests, etc. And, of course, the Allies in the end bombed it.
Yeah.
And then the Germans did occupy it after it was bombed.
It became a death trap.
But, it was awful.
So I see that I envisage this happening within the bombed Gaza City. Hamas will know exactly where to hide.
Yeah.
And they will...
Yeah, sorry. Just saying, the Jordanian border has been closed because there was an incident where a guy came over and took out two Israeli soldiers.
Yeah, okay.
So the Jordanian border is now closed.
Yeah.
The one at Rafah on Egypt is now closed.
Yeah.
So nothing's getting in.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the Jordan, you've got to go from Jordan through the Israeli controlled area before you can get to the West Bank areas of Palestine, which is so like a holy cheese now. It's so all scattered with lockdown areas and everything else.
It's just
a tragedy. A shame. To me, it's a disgrace on the world.
We sat back and done nothing.
I quite felt sorry for the Algerian ambassador. He was on the security and he almost broke down. He was apologising to the Palestinians for the council having let you down.
He was beside himself with grief and disgust.
I'm just a little white New Zealander living over here. I just feel ashamed of even human myself, race. But of us as we're just shocking.
We're allowed this to happen.
And sadly, some of it's under the guise of the Crusades.
Mm.
They are Muslims. They are brown. Yeah, you know, there's racism. There's,
mm-hmm.
there's all sorts of things going on.
You know, it's pretty disgraceful.
Yeah, I felt the Algerian rep.
It was very, very good.
And the Pakistani one as well, I think.
Well, I've
always felt that the Jordanians, whoever they speak, sound a little bit more sycophantic.
Well, there's all sorts of pressure. Don't forget, a lot of these countries, there's some countries that are wealthy, but there's a lot of countries that rely a lot on America and the West support, etc. So they all get caught up in it. But between the whoever runs a country and the masses, there's quite a big disconnect at times.
Very much so,
Can I just go one on an aside? Last Saturday, those of us didn't go up to Auckland for the Palestinian thing. We were out on our corner at Flynn Road in Cambridge. What's it called? Wairere Drive. And the wind, the wind was just ferocious. So we were just on the ground, but we could hardly hold a flag up or anything else. Mm. And I thought, lucky we didn't go over the bridge, or we might have got blown off. But it was that was a huge wind. Yeah. So
So lucky. But at least the protest or the march in Auckland was a big affair.
It was.
Yeah.
Right,
that's me,
I'm afraid.
Yeah. This thing about, you know, go back to free speech and free expression and stuff like that. I just had to re-listen to Trump's inauguration speech.
Yeah.
Where he harped on there about the importance of free speech.
Yeah.
And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he wouldn't be a handbrake to it. But lo and behold, he's been
I think the thing is, you know, it's like freedom, say what you like, but you've also got to allow for the freedom for the other person as well.
Yeah, that doesn't fit into the game plan.
No,
that's
it's
often
free speech
the issue.
For me, but not for you.
Yeah. Well, it's like there was a counter protest in Auckland, Queen Street, led by Destiny Church, I believe, Man Up, etc. And they're entitled to do that, but it's that intolerance.
Mm.
You know, the bottom line is, if you don't have any tolerance for someone else's view, that leads into fascism pretty quickly.
Didn't they invite Tamaki over to that big pro-right thing over there that they had?
Oh, I'm not sure, but could have. They could have. But
I didn't think he was in the country.
It's quite sad when you see what purported religious groups saying, you know, there's only one God in New Zealand and all this. This is just awful stuff, you know. Where's our tolerance? Because, you know, I'm sort of Christian background. You know, you were taught to sort of, you know, love thy neighbour, have a bit of respect.
It's all talk.
Yeah. But intolerance is awful.
Tolerance for certain people, you don't meet the criteria, then you don't count.
Yeah.
It's the same thing about the free speech in America. Provided you agree with what I'm doing, fine, you've got free speech. But if you try and criticise me, you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that smells like 1930s.
30s, 40s, all over again.
Yeah, we're in very awful times. And what's that? There's a famous saying, I pulled it up, I can't remember the name of the guy, but it's something like, as the old world dies and the new world's born, we're in the time of monsters or something, you know?
Who's
a historian, Craig?
Yeah, that's the Spanish
guy?
Yeah, Goya. Goya, the painter.
He said that, and it's quite right. We're the old world is dying, and I think even maybe capitalism is starting to erode.
I've heard someone describe 1984.
Yeah.
We're now living in 1984.
Well, it was like that. Yeah.
We're now it's arrived.
Yeah.
There is a song by Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
Not Bridges, Not Walls. But it's what is it now? Just trying to think of it, and it's from one album that I've got. And he sings about that very song, Creatures of Something, and it comes from a painting, which you're referring to, Fred.
Okay,
and it's by Goya.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot that. Yeah, but I say it seems to be quite right. We're just out of control. And now
the voice of reason is being drowned out by rants,
so many different
raves.
Voices.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
But he also has a song, Bridges Not Walls, as well. So,
okay.
What's it called? Is this the Sleep of Reason?
The Sleep of Reason.
That's
a good description. The Sleep of Reason.
And then the other good song from that same album is Why We Build Walls.
Yeah.
To keep the others out.
Mm. Yeah. We're definitely Judge Dredd type. We're out of here.
Well, there. Yeah.
Sorry to have nothing on
that
positive
on that somber note. We're out of here. And if you want to know where we are, check out www.freefm.org.nz and just follow us on Facebook, Free Left Turn and Podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.